Welcome to episode 82 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 82, brought to you by Grand X Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, here at the Grand X Media Studios in Austin, Texas, with producer Michael Weiner.
Sup, Ross? Shouts to you. Shouts to Cowboys great Jason Witten, who is a very mediocre television announcer guy.
I enjoyed watching Witten do his job mediocrely. I think he's handsome enough and his voice is good enough to pull it off. But he got a lot of hate.
He's quite handsome, and he'll get better.
He got shredded. It's hard, man. Go back and listen to the first ever RBP. It's not nearly as good as they are now.
That's true. And there's only one guy in the history of broadcasting, I'm pretty sure, who everyone like instantly liked, and that was Tony Romo.
Right.
So, you know, big shouts to number 82.
Yeah. Quickly, RBP 82 is brought to you by Lisa. If you ever find yourself getting distracted, making mistakes at work, forgetting things, a good night's sleep is probably exactly what you need, and the key to a great night's sleep is your brand new Lisa mattress. The Lisa mattress is the product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing, comprised of three foam layers that provide cooling pressure relief, body contouring, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree the Lisa mattress gives them the rest they need. Join the Lisa gang today. Grab your mattress by going to lisa.com/RBP with the promo code RBP and try it risk-free for 100 nights. You can also just use the promo code RBP at checkout. Your Lisa mattress will ship directly to your door in a convenient box with free shipping and free returns. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I stand behind these Lisa mattresses. Micah does as well. I sleep on one myself every night, have for over a year now. I have two of their pillows. I have their blankets on my couch. They're the best. You get up to $160 off your Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress, which is actually specifically the one that Micah and I both have separately in our separate domiciles. We're not sharing one. But I love my Sapira more than I could ever put into words. You also get free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/RBP. Enter promo code RBP at checkout. That's LEESA.com/RBP, promo code RBP. RBP 82 is also brought to you by Rowdy Gentlemen, which is our in-house clothing brand here at Grand X. We design all the products. We source all the materials. We put the whole thing together. This is our baby. And you can check it out at rowdygentlemen.com. Just for being a listener of the podcast, for being a member of the RBP gang, you are getting early access to our massive sale that's going down next week. Nobody else has access to this yet. But you use the code RBP early, one word, RBP as in the Ross Bolin Podcast, and then early, RBP, E-A-R-L-Y, at checkout. You'll get 30% off your entire order on rowdygentleman.com. There's already even some massively marked down sale items that you'll get an additional 30% off of. Much of our fall 2018 collection is available now. More is coming soon. Check out rowdygentleman.com today. Use the code RBP early for early access and 30% off of that sale. Don't tell anyone else about the RBP early code. It's just for you as a listener. Gang only. And if you are listening to this show well into the future, like, for instance, this was released September 18th, 2018. If it's fucking December, clearly that RBP early code isn't going to work for you. Try Eat Fresh, E-A-T-F-R-E-S-H. It's likely that it'll give you 15% off because gang, gang, gang. If you're new to our show, every episode is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues down in the description. You don't have to listen to any of the preceding episodes in order to enjoy this one, but if you like the show, you should go back and listen to them all as to not miss out on any inside jokes, running jokes, or priceless knowledge. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast. We are also on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We are on Facebook somewhere, but nobody knows and nobody cares. Every day through the social media outlets, we put up content, photos, videos related to the show, highlights from old episodes, segments turned into clips. We make announcements and shit. We fill up our Instagram story with slides that you, the listeners, the RBP gang members, have sent to Mike and I via Snapchat. My Snapchat's at WR Bolin. Micah's is at MicahTX, as in Texas. Keep the snaps coming. We'll take the best ones and throw them on our Instagram story at the Ross Bolin Podcast. Announcements and amends. First, we may have done the immortal jellyfish twice as Animal of the Week. Many people are saying that, sliding into my DMs, tweeting at me and shit, saying, did you really do the immortal jellyfish again? Because you did it in the past. And that's entirely possible. I don't know what Ron Bowler does when he takes over, and I can't be held responsible for that. And it should be noted, this is an announcement. This is not me making amends. I will not make amends for shining twice as much light on this incredible animal. If we did do the immortal jellyfish once before, someone tell me what episode, because I can't find that shit. I mean, I believe you. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just I legitimately couldn't find it. And I don't know. But twice the love for the immortal jellyfish, not necessarily the worst thing. I mean, it could be worse. But also, if that did happen, my bad. But also, still, I'm not making amends. Shout out to Knox. Happy 22nd birthday, dude. And now some amends. I may have mispronounced Median for some reason. I have no idea what the hell that was. It was a brain fart. That's all. People keep, same thing, DMing me, texting me. I'm getting fucking phone calls from friends like, hey, what's wrong with you? Didn't you watch Entourage? Didn't you watch both seasons of Narcos? How could you mispronounce Median? And I don't know. I don't know. But I will apologize for that. Also, I implied the Narcos location scout that was murdered was killed in Colombia. That shit happened in Mexico, likely by the cartel. Not that it really matters. The guy's dead, is the point. But pretty sure that's a Mexican cartel-related issue, which kind of makes it more applicable to where Narcos is at now. As we know, season 3 went deep into the Cali cartel, which operates out of Mexico. So those are my announcements and amends. And we're going to jump right into our first segment. Californication. Despite my intense hatred for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, we will still name this segment Californication because I love the show Californication, even though the last couple seasons kind of went off the rails there. And I think it's a great term in general because the state of California as a whole, it definitely does put you in a different state of mind if you stay there long enough. So why are we talking about this? I got to go stay this past weekend at the resort at Pelican Hill in Newport, Friday through Sunday. It was nasty. Loved it. If you are rich, I highly recommend it. I got to go stay there on kind of a technicality. Someone I'm close with's parents couldn't use the spot that they had lined up through some kind of vacation package deal that I'm not rich enough to be familiar with. But point being, my lodging was free, which was very nice. I could not have gone otherwise. Or I guess I could have, but would have been irresponsible. I had fun. The place is beautiful. It was as beautiful as I expected and more. Every time I go spend time in California, especially in the summer, especially if I'm in anywhere that I've been, San Diego, Newport, Laguna, any of those surrounding areas, it's so frustrating to be there when it's like 75 and the sun is just this crisp, beautiful thing that tans you instead of making you sweat bullets. And the weather out there, my God. I mean, I get it. I get why people sacrifice the amount of tax money that they do to go live in shanties in California because holy hell, it's gorgeous. And I also get why so many people from California haul ass to Austin to basically what you're doing is you're exchanging massive amounts of money that you get to keep instead of giving it up for about 20 degrees hotter weather. That's the trade-off, right? And people are moving from California to Austin in droves. And that's been a problem for years and years and years. Actually, at one point when I was in California, when we were wandering around Laguna on Monday, which I'll get to, our reasoning we were doing that, but we ended up, we were walking through these art galleries. There's all these art galleries in Laguna and they got really cool shit. And for any of you who have ever been in an area that's real artsy, like Laguna tends to be, you walking into art galleries, it's not even about shopping for art. You're probably not. It's just a cool place to go look at art. It's like going to an art museum, except you get hassled by somebody who's likely a cokehead the entire time you're looking at the art because they're trying to sell it to you, which is annoying. But all you have to do is block them out, and you've got some great art to look at, especially in Laguna, where these art dealers are selling to profusely wealthy folks. So while we were in one of these art galleries, this, I don't know, 6'2", at least my height plus high heels, blonde, worn out looking woman that's actually from Austin but now lives in California. She's an art dealer and she was like joking about how everybody moves from Laguna to Austin because what would cost you $1 million for a tiny condo in Laguna get you a castle in Austin. And I was like, ha ha ha. But also that's not true. I mean, it's not a castle, but a nice house. Better than a condo. I mean, her idea was correct, but the amount to which it translates is not so much anymore. That it's not the same as it was 20 years ago. You could have got a castle 20 years ago. That shit is not true at all anymore. Now, you could move south of Austin or north of Austin or east or west, but not right in the middle. You're not going to get a castle. There is no room for a castle. It's all gone. But what was I saying? Oh, Pelican Hill. I got to play the golf course, and I'm not familiar with Pelican Hill. I'd never seen photos of the golf course. I've never spoken at length to anybody who's played it before. I have a polo I was gifted by my wife after she went to a wedding there without me. She went as her mom's date and left me here, and she went. But I got a t-shirt or a golf polo out of it, which is lovely. Point being, I didn't really know what to expect. I was going into it blind. I purposefully did not look up anything about the course or really the surrounding area or anything about the resort. I just wanted to go in and enjoy myself. I mean, I knew it was going to be sweet. I wanted to go in with a blank canvas. So I did, and holy shit. This golf course is like a whole nother deal. First of all, in comparison to the other like luxury golf courses that I've played, and by that I mean ones that cost over $200 for a green fee, it was up there. I mean, it was certainly top three. And I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play some very cool golf courses. This is the hardest golf course I've ever played in my life, including anywhere in any state at any point. The elevation changes are what make it just absolutely absurd. If you're not in the middle of the fairway, you're not on an even slope or even close to an even slope. And I've never played anywhere with the elevation changes that this course has. It felt like what playing at Augusta must feel like, where none of your shots are going to land on a flat surface. It's just never going to happen. And as you're driving your cart, thankfully we have golf carts because walking is for suckers. When you're driving your cart up and down these absurd slopes, and the golf carts have to have a governor that keeps you from going over like 2 miles an hour for safety, you know you're on a hard golf course. And it was fucked. I mean, I just got the shit. Our whole foursome got our asses kicked the whole day. Nonstop. Just a total ass kicking. And sure, there were good shots sprinkled in, but nobody played well. And if any of the other three of you who played with me are listening, you know nobody played well. Two of us won money. We played a game called Vegas. Mike, are you familiar with Vegas on a golf course?
I'm not.
I had never played it before, and it's quite complicated, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I even know how to explain it. Google it if you would like. I believe this is one that is becoming more and more popular. For those of you who play golf a lot and you like to gamble with your friends, you're probably familiar with Wolf, right? Everybody's played Wolf at some point. This is not Wolf. This is a little bit more intense. There's more of a gambling aspect to it. There's more luck to it than any other golf gambling game I've played before, which is nice because I'm terrible and I need that luck. That's how I ended up making money on this day, despite the fact that I shot a 51 on the back or the front and the back, which is just consistency. But for those of you who can't add, that's 102. I shot a 102 and did not play well. At no point was I very proud of what I was doing on the golf course. I was putting all right, but like everything else, which, oh my God, just a fucking disaster. I shot the highest score out of the four of us, and that's bad if you're not a golf person. But I left feeling extremely happy that I had gone at all. It was so fucking beautiful. Look it up, and if you ever get lucky enough to go out there, absolutely do and absolutely play. Smoked probably three joints over the course of 18 holes and took a couple edibles, the 10 milligram ones. And at one point on the front nine, I think like around hole eight, I'd probably taken an edible like 15, 20 minutes beforehand. And one of the guys I was playing with sunk like a 120-foot birdie putt, just like one of those pure luck, you know, happens 10 times to you in your life putts. And I went fucking berserk because it was awesome. And that like got the adrenaline going a little bit and immediately kicked one of the edibles in. And I was like, oh no. I was violently stoned for much of this 18 holes. It's a miracle that I got through it, honestly. But 51-51 is bad, and I was still happy with it. That's how cool the golf course was.
Let me ask you some weed-related questions, Ross, if I may.
I always love to answer questions about weed.
As we know, we are coming up on the one-year anniversary of the last time I consumed any marijuana, in which I took one hit from Ross at ACL Fest and was weird.
Yeah,
and disappeared, and didn't talk to my girlfriend, and just freaked everyone out. It was one hit of weed in Austin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this so-called Cali weed.
Yeah.
Of which you tweeted about often while you were there.
Yeah.
What is this like? How does the delivery service work? Is it, I don't know if we're stealing from another subject.
Not at all.
But let's get into your weed consumption, man, this weekend, because this is always interesting.
So obviously California, just like Colorado and several other states, has legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, while it is now once again banned at the federal level, right?
Right.
And
you're committing a federal crime.
Right. So it's weird because they're operating all these dispensaries and all these weed delivery services, but they're operating illegally with the hope that the federal government will not come bust them, which is the correct assumption as far as I know. I don't think the feds have any intention of messing with these guys. They just, I don't know what it is. We don't have to get into the political side of it. Point being, it's illegal. So it's a little funky. Like, you can't pay with a card in most circumstances. The banks don't work with these dispensaries because they're scared of the feds, and which is the issue we had several years ago before this was legalized recreationally at a federal government level. The thing that was different about this California trip, I had never utilized a weed delivery service before. This is something that in my brain only existed in the movie Half-Baked, which is a movie that's not real, and that was a totally illegal street dealer running in a delivery service.
Correct.
Right? Dave Chappelle. This is exactly that. Like, when you're picturing in your head what ordering weed from a delivery service in California looks like, it's just the movie Half-Baked. That's almost definitely where the guy who originally came up with the idea got it. Or he just looked at, like, Uber Eats. Or it's the same as any delivery service, whether you use Favor, Uber Eats, one of the many grocery store ordering services that you can use to have groceries delivered to your house. You're essentially paying a slight premium and possibly tip to have the product brought to you rather than you going and shopping for it. Where this gets a little weird is that nobody has any fucking clue what all these different strands of weed are, right? So when you're on the phone with some dispensary and they're like, what do you want, bro? You don't know. They're like, okay, well, let me tell you about some of our strands. We've got like purple octopus pussy, and then we've got like banana slug medicinal lightning bolt, and you're just like, what the fuck? Nobody has any clue, so it gets really, really weird when you're trying to figure out what to order. And the first place I ordered from had a $100 minimum. I was supposed to be there for 48 hours, so that was way more than I was going to need, but I was just like, fuck it, I'm on vacation. So I got a bunch of, and the shit's all dirt cheap. It's like, you know, 10, 15, 20 bucks for a gram, and you can get stuff that's crazy and like 40 bucks for a gram or whatever, but you don't need to. It's all incredibly well good. It's good medicinal quality strains of dank, as the kids call it. So it's not, you don't need to be spending very much money to get really, really high. But the $100 minimum thing was annoying. I had to get a bunch of shit that I didn't need as a result. But they do give you like a free pipe and a lighter. And a free brownie edible as well, which was about...
It's thoughtful.
Yeah, very thoughtful. It was about the size of a silver dollar, but obviously rectangular.
Okay.
And it had 45 milligrams of THC in it. And this is another area that the whole weed thing gets really complicated. See, I am familiar with these 10 milligram THC gummies. They're the ones that I typically buy in Colorado at Aspen. I believe the brand is called like Wawu or Wamu or some shit, something with a W. And the 10 milligrams will typically get me pretty high. Now, as my tolerance has grown, the first time I took one, I took a half, and it was 5 milligrams, and I was stoned as shit for about 5 hours, which is neither here nor there. But point being, 45 milligrams in a little brownie the size of a silver dollar, I don't know how much to eat. It's terrifying. That's four of what I'm used to and 5 more milligrams, and I don't know what the translation is. Are all milligrams treated equally? I don't know. So I just ate a little corner, like in hopes to be alive. And I was. I got really high. But the edible game is nuts. The whole game is nuts. The whole weed industry thing is fucking crazy. And coincidentally, one of the guys I was staying with, I'm not going to say names, but he works for a very large cannabis dispensary or something in the cannabis industry. And he's high enough up to where... he would be hanging out with the likes of like Dan Bilzerian, for instance. Like the weekend before, I believe he was at Dan Bilzerian's house for Dan's launch party for his cannabis line that is actually as far as I, if I understand it correctly, is just being white labeled through this guy's company. So basically, they take the weed, they grow it, they do all of the things, and then Dan puts his brand on it and they sell it, right? But the amount of money that they have circulating through this thing, speaking to the delivery services, like, it's crazy that, but they're trying to catch up with the technology that everything else is already utilizing, like with Uber and transportation, or with food delivery or groceries or anything else. You can have pretty much anything brought to you on demand in this day and age. Now you can have weed brought to you, but it's fucking disorganized because it's illegal. It's very weird and unstructured. Like, it was $100 minimum. It was supposed to take within 45 minutes to an hour and a half. It took about 2 hours. The chick brings it to you. Like, they check your ID after you've sent them a text message photo. It's this whole song and dance. The second delivery I placed, which was on Monday, or Sunday rather, took about 6 hours to get to me. Was very pissed off about that. I got a confirmation email at 11 a.m. the next day telling me that I had received my product just then, which was not accurate, obviously. It's just nuts. And then there's Micah areas of California. Like, on Monday, I ended up in Laguna Beach, or Sunday afternoon. And they have outlawed dispensaries. So in Laguna Beach, there aren't any dispensaries. However, you can have weed delivered into you. Like, there's stuff like that where it's like, wait, what the fuck? And then you can tell there's these smoke shops that have set up shop in Laguna Beach with the intention of eventually being dispensaries when that ban is lifted at some point. But for now, they're like cigar and vape shops. I'm throwing up air quotes here. And you'll call them and they're like, we only have like CBD products and cigars. And you're like, oh, well, that's not helpful. I need some fucking THC. So it's a weird situation. It's like watching what eventually we're going to see in Texas probably in like a decade. So I don't know how the tax situation works.
Yeah, you know,
with all
I don't know if any of this is interesting to our listeners, but it interests me a lot. And I haven't spent any time, like significant time, in Colorado or California or anywhere else since these things have passed.
Yeah.
So every time you go to them, I'm greatly intrigued.
It's honestly the most fascinating part about these trips to both of those states right now for me, is seeing how all this works. And it's like, it's very funny, but every time I get on Snapchat, and I mean legitimately every single time for the past couple months, if I scroll over to their Discover section, there's this one of the, you know, the Discover section, it's kind of like the tabloids for social media. It's just absolutely
it's trash. Yeah.
It's fucking, right now I'm looking at Steve-O, a picture of Kendall Jenner's abs, that ninja guy from Fortnite, and then it's trying to serve me like random social media, model influencers, if you want to call them that, just random girls probably in college. And there's one that I always get served that's like marijuana investing 101, and then you click on it and it's
I see it every time too.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I don't know who's paying for that to show up in the Discover section every day, but they're very clearly pushing on this avenue. They want people getting into this and investing in it. And the whole fucking world is trying to jump on this same train at one time. And without doing any damage to anybody or trying to piss anybody off, I'll just say this. There is a brand in California that I believe to be making more progress than anyone else. And that's as a result of them simplifying this whole legalized weed situation. They have like five names of weed strains that they sell, and they all very clearly indicate what it is that you're dealing with. It's like Calm, Create, fucking, I don't know, I think they all start with a C though. You should be able to find it yourself, but basically it's like, do you want to go to sleep? Here's this one. Do you want to be creative? Here's this one. Do you want to go be active? Here's this one. Do you want to be it? Out of the five, they very clearly explain, so you're not dealing with like, well, I want an indica that has hints of sativa in the back end of the high, but like, no, you're not dealing with any of that. It's very simple. It's for weed for dummies, basically. And they've got this beautiful packaging that clearly explains it all to you. You can buy like a pack of five joints that have one of each of the kinds if you want to try them out and see which ones are for you or whatever. And that was the most interesting development for me on this particular trip, is that it's clear people are making massive strides forward and have started to figure out things like, nobody knows all these strains. Why are we making this so complicated? Let's make it easier. Let's make it high quality. Let's make it easy to deal with. People are going to get filthy fucking rich off this, just like they do off alcohol. It's going to be the same damn size eventually. But yeah, it's I'm just kind of in awe of it every time I go to. I didn't even go to a dispensary on this trip. I just had the weed brought to me both times, which is new. So I would still say I prefer Colorado to California in terms of weed. And the California guys will tell you that the Colorado stuff is lighter, that the California stuff is heavier. I don't know what that means. I just need basic details about what the weed's going to do and how it tastes. Sure, I want it to taste good, but that's probably secondary. My taste buds have been fried by so many different cigarettes and dips and alcohols and drugs, and they're barely there. They're just barely hanging on. I can taste like, Tabasco, and that's it. Cholula. Anyway, I do love the California weed. It's not that. I've just enjoyed my overall experience in Colorado a little bit more, if I'm being honest with you. And that might just be the result of the different time periods that I've been there, when it was legal, when it wasn't, blah, blah, blah. Enough about weed for the moment. The one other thing we did in Cali that was super fucking fun and absurd was we went on a Duffy boat trip. Micah, do you know what a Duffy boat is?
I saw your Snapchats, but not really.
Okay, well, that's what it is. It's an electric boat that sits probably, I don't know, a maximum of 8 people, if I had to guess, with a little seat in the back. It goes no more than a few miles an hour. It has comfortable seating. The idea is that typically you would rent a Duffy boat for a romantic evening or a night with friends out on the water to enjoy the sunset, have a fucking charcuterie board, crush a bunch of wine, maybe smoke a joint, whatever. And you cruise around the bay or the area we were was in Laguna, I believe. But I'm also a moron when it comes to directions. The point is, we rented a Duffy boat, and I got to be the captain because I was sober, from alcohol. So I was the captain now, and we cruised around by all these huge fucking yachts. I'm going to have to get with one of the people that was on the trip with me to say specifically which bay or dock area we were around, but you get like 2 hours with this thing, and you just go get real fucked up on this Duffy boat. And I wanted to drive it because I've been on a Duffy boat before, believe it or not. I'm an experienced Duffy boat captain. At one point in college, I rented a Duffy boat on Town Lake here in Austin and went out on a Duffy boat with a girlfriend at that point. And so I had driven one of these things before. I was like, I can fucking handle this. I can do this. And I did, sort of, until it was time where we needed to turn back and get back to the dock we started at so that we could go to dinner. That's when things went south. And somewhere along the way, when we were driving, like on the 8th or 9th turn, when people would be like, go over there to the left, or like over here to the right. And I was like, okay, cool, yeah. I remembered, like, I think this is going to be really tough to recreate backwards. And the map we had been given by this lady on the dock who was renting the boat to us was very rudimentary, like next level dumbass, like a 7-year-old drew it with crayons. And it wasn't helpful. So we got lost in this Duffy boat. And then my beautiful wife had to pee very badly to the point that she was in intense pain. Her bladder stress levels were at an all-time high. Another guy on the boat had to pee so bad that he had to piss off the back. It's broad daylight. It was his wife screaming at him. She's pregnant. The whole thing was a fucking disaster. It was hysterical, and thankfully I didn't have to pee. But you know, if you've been in that situation before, like if you've ever been on like a party bus or in some situation where you're not allowed to get up and leave or there's nowhere to use the restroom, when you've got to go and the minutes turn into 20 minutes, turn into an hour, turn into hours, there's nothing worse. Like I might rather be lit on fire than have to pee that bad. And I've been in that boat many, many, many times, no pun intended, because of drug testing specifically. Like, when you go to get a drug test, they make you drink a lot of water so that you'll have to pee. But then if you have stage fright and you can't pee and you keep pounding water, your bladder is just filling up and eventually it really fucking hurts and it gets super annoying and then hopefully you go pee or you might just die. It's actually a distinct possibility. But Taylor was about to fucking...
There is nothing worse.
Oh,
my
God.
I'm going to hop in here for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I was out with a former girlfriend of mine. We went on a we were in Dallas and we went on a Highland Park Christmas light tour.
This is the kind of situation where this shit happens.
Where we were like on a Hummer Stretch limo, or we were in a, I think it was a Hummer Stretch, okay? And people had mulled wine, and I was like, I'm not drinking that. I need something stronger. And I'm sucking down beers, and you're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, like, I've never had to pee worse in my entire life. And I had been with, this was the first time I had been out with her friends and like her coworkers. I forget. I mean, it was like a group of people I'd never met. And I spent like 45 minutes, like in the corner, like almost shaking. Like I was in so much pain.
Oh, eventually that's what
it'll
take you.
She was like, are you okay? You. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm okay. Yeah. And we went into some pizza place, and like I pushed over one of her friends who was a female to get to the women's restroom. Because I had to pee so bad.
Sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
It was bad. But yeah, so we've all been there. I feel bad for Taylor.
Oh my God, it's the fucking worst. So I'm driving, right? And I'm very high. Like I smoked a joint while I was driving the little boat or whatever, which, it's going 2 miles an hour. Come on. And that started to like give me anxiety, seeing her in pain like that or whatever. I don't like that. That's, you know, I love her. So it just, the whole situation was a mess. We ended up having to pull over to a random dock and leave her. She just jumped off. And for those of you who are asking, like, why didn't she just like hang off the back and just go? Fuck it. She had a romper on, so she would have had to get butt-assed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she was not down to do that. So, like, that's another one of the times where I was like, thank God I'm a dude. Because you can just go pee in a bottle or pee off the back of the boat. It's not that easy when you're a girl. It's not the same. And it... Fortunately, she made it to a bathroom before she exploded. But, and that might have been too, sorry, Tay, if I just gave out too much of your personal life to the masses. But the problem is, even after we drop her off, we drop her and her pregnant friend, Sarah, off, and then we continue this boat ride. We're trying to get back to the dock. We get lost. We go the wrong way again. There's a situation where we're looking at a map on a phone now because that's the only good map we have. And the guy that's guiding us, he thinks there's an opening where there isn't one because he hasn't zoomed in far enough to see that it closes off. That situation put another 40 minutes on to the end of our boat ride. Long story short, we run out of electricity. The boat enters low power mode. The radio shuts down. The lights are off. The sun is dropping. There are fucking 200-foot yachts cruising around. We're in a tiny Duffy boat. Danger is now present in the situation. And I'm not in the best state. I'll be frank. I was unraveling. Like, there was too much pressure now. This whole thing was on. The night was becoming, like, my responsibility. I am terrible with directions. I don't know north, south, east, and west. I don't know how to get to my own house from my own office without using my phone map thing. At least the first 50 times. I learned through repetition, right? I have to go somewhere, like, 40 times before I know how to get there. This was the first time I'd ever driven around the bay that I can't even remember the name of. So... it was a problem. People are driving by like, turn on your lights, asshole. And we've got drunk people on our Duffy boat yelling back like, fuck you, we don't have any electricity. And I'm just sitting behind the wheel stoned, like swanging left and right over and over, trying to figure out which way we should go. And thankfully, we finally got back to that dock about an hour and a half after we were supposed to. There was a very angry owner of the boat there when we returned, who explained to us that his dumbass assistant should have shown us on the map exactly where to go. He was busy, so he didn't have the opportunity. Ipso facto, we got fucking lost. And it was very funny, though. Highly recommend the Duffy boats. Huge on Duffy boats now. This is my new thing that I want to be in on. I would like to purchase a Duffy boat. If you have one for sale, please contact me through any of the various social medias that exist. I will take said Duffy boat off your hands because I am a Duffy boat veteran captain now, I believe, after this whole fucking fiasco. So Sunday night rolls around. We've had a fantastic trip. Or I'm sorry, Sunday morning rolls around. We say bye to everybody. We head to the airport real early at like 6:30 in the morning. We're going to get on our flight, head to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix to Austin. And some fuck in the Phoenix airport abandons his vehicle with like some kind of device in it. The whole airport gets shut down. Specifically, Terminal 4, where we were supposed to land, was completely shut down. They brought out like a bomb squad, the whole nine yards. It's the whole, you know, terror threat deal. Cancels all the flights. This has never happened to me before. I've never had a canceled flight. But if I have, I don't remember because I was able to book another flight to get the fuck out. That wasn't the case. This was it. all the other flights filled up as a result because this Phoenix situation caused so many issues around the country coming in and out of every airport, got completely boned. And I guess it's you got to look at it from two angles. The first angle is I'm very lucky I was where I was, because what I ended up getting to do is just spend an extra day in sunny California at Laguna Beach, where I had not been yet on this trip. And it was beautiful. We stayed in this little quaint little boutique hotel that was under $300 for the one evening we were going to be there, which I was thankful for considering how expensive everything is there. We got an extra day where we got to go walk around Laguna Beach and try to enjoy ourselves. But we were also like zombies. We're just so exhausted at this point. The West Coast is a hellhole when it comes to the time zone thing. I don't know how y'all fucking work on that schedule. It just shook me to my core. I'm getting the rest of my week is a disaster. We're doing like four episodes of this show this week, and hopefully they'll get better and better as the week goes on, because I'm just coming in a mess today to the office. Like, my whole week has been thrown into a complete disarray as a result of this Phoenix fiasco. But I did get to spend time in a beautiful part of the country that I had never been before, and for a day that I will always remember. But we just kind of wandered around Laguna, tired as fuck all Sunday. We got out Monday morning, everything went as planned, and now I'm back. And I'll say this for California. Beautiful state. Wonderful people for the most part compared to anywhere else that I've ever been. They're no better, no worse. Holy shit, though. It's just a lot. I mean, it's a whole different ball game. It's like, fortunately, I live in an area of Texas that has been very much Californified. And we think a little bit differently than a lot of the other areas in Texas. And that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just a different thing. And California is not as big of a jump in weirdness for me as it is for most people that go out there for you know, vacation or tourist shit. And I was still like, man, it's different out here. I don't know how any of these people pay for any of this shit. I don't know how they live or how they afford it or what. I don't get it. How they have jobs, how everybody has a high enough paying job to afford to be. I have no idea. That's the part of it that blows my mind. If anybody wants to shine some light on it, that lives in California, please do. Also, shout out to everybody who hit me up being like, dude, I'll smoke you out. Come through. I was there with my wife and other adults that would have blown my head off had I been like, yo, I'm going to chunk the deuce for a couple hours and go smoke out with some RBP listeners. But I appreciate the offer. It meant a lot. All in all, unbelievable area. Newport, obviously, Laguna. These are wealthy people areas. You shouldn't be going to these places unless you got money, which I don't really have, but I went anyway, and now I have less of. It was a blast, though. Segueing into our next segment, the post-travel poop, and this is going to be a little gross. There's no way around that, but I'm going to pose a question, and mostly to you, Micah, since you're the only other person in the room that Great. Can give me at least an immediate answer. And that question is, every time I get home from a vacation, whether it be a couple days or a week, I absolutely wreck my toilet within 20 minutes of stepping foot back into my house. 20 minutes being the far maximum end of that timing. It's usually within a few minutes, like 3 minutes. Now, after a lot of thought, this is clearly the result of like a comfort zone type of situation. Like, I'm more comfortable in my own house and my bladder feels more comfortable unloading, or not my bladder, my intestines, I don't, whatever. But I also think there has to be like some science involved with this, right? Like, flying around on an airplane, being 20,000 feet up in the air, whatever, the gravity that comes with that does something to your insides or something. But my question is this: does this happen to you, where the first bowel movement you have after a vacation is just an obscene thing?
Probably. It's not something I've thought of in this sense, but often I find myself like, for example, I was in New Orleans a couple weekends ago.
Yes, you were.
And we all know what that'll do to your inside when you just eat and drink all weekend.
Oh, God, we do.
But we're not going to get into the actual contents of my, you know, release.
Sure.
But I'll just say, we got to the airport. It was a direct flight. The flight's like 55 minutes in the air. And I could have gone then. And if it was like a regular morning and I was in my own home,
you would have.
I would have. But I said, no, I'm waiting until I get in my own toilet.
Okay.
I never said it out loud.
It's a mental.
But it was like, I could wait. I'm just going to wait 2 hours. And so I did, and it took less than 20 minutes. Like, I walked into the apartment. I remember it well, actually. I walked into the apartment. I put my suitcase down like 1 inch away from the front door and walked straight to what I call my bathroom, which is the second bathroom, yes. Which is the one that
I have one of those, too.
I do the number two in. And escaped like 20 minutes later and felt great. But like there's no like, oh, we're home. Let's set the thermostat or, oh, turn on the TV.
You run
or,
straight to the restroom.
I go straight. There's nothing else. No unpacking.
Okay, I've noticed this before with me, but it's a thing about flying specifically, I think. And it's something like, I don't know if maybe, and I apologize again for the disgusting nature of this particular topic, but it's something that must be discussed. I find myself becoming like a little bit constipated maybe as a result of flying. So like I'll go number two on a trip or whatever, but it's not as effective as it normally is. And then when I get home, it's like everything melts away and everything that should have been released during the trip is released in one foul swoop.
Ooh.
And it is foul. I'm talking like full-blown colon cleanse, like absolute. I don't know how it works, but I'm like 6 pounds lighter than I was yesterday is my only point. And I wanted to know if this is a thing that happens to a lot of people, this post-travel poop thing. Like, I really probably should have brought our friend Dylan, who just got back from Europe. I'm going to ask him after we finish recording, like, if this happens to him. I'm fascinated by not only the marijuana industry, or the cannabis industry, as they call it, but also the poop industry and what happens with people post-travel. If you got insights on this, tweet at us. Instagram comment at us, DM us, whatever. 888-WR-BOLIN is our hotline number that you can call. Tell me if you have this exact same phenomenon, because it can't just be me. It can't be a weird thing with me. I already have enough weird things that are just me. I feel like that list is filled up, and now the weird things, I need them to be shared with other people, or I'm going to start to feel really not normal. Okay? So somebody hit us up and tell us about your post-travel poops. A word from our sponsor. Fulton and Rourke just launched their lotion, and it is awesome. It is a sad fact of the world we live in, but most men just don't take care of their skin the way that women do because we're morons. We're idiots, oblivious fools who ignore the fact that the drier your skin gets, the faster you age, the older you look, the less women will want you, the less men will want to be you, and the sadder your life becomes. That's why you need Fulton and Rourke's new body lotion that absorbs quickly into your skin, quenching your skin's thirst and delivering vital nutrients like vitamin E, sage, and rosemary extracts, which, as we all know, are the best extracts that there are, keeping your skin healthy and elastic like it's meant to be. Plus, just like all of Fulton and Rourke's products, this lotion is the best-smelling stuff available. These guys have been given grooming awards from GQ, Men's Health. The Wall Street Journal just recently acknowledged their 2-in-1 shampoo and body wash is fantastic. And everything they make comes with a 30-day no-questions-asked guarantee. So hit FultonandRourke.com and use the code RBP at checkout to get 15% off your first purchase. If you're looking for a solid cologne recommendation, Sterling is a great pick for fall with notes of tobacco, leather, and vanilla. So go to FultonandRourke.com. That's F-U-L-T-O-N and R-O-A-R-K.com. Use the code RBP. 15% off your first order. Smell good. Feel good. Make sweet love to a lingerie model and a pile of money. Next segment. Fortnite divorces. So in a crazy turn of events in the past couple days, a lot of the information has come to light regarding Fortnite being cited in divorce proceedings. It turns out that at least 200 couples in the United Kingdom, which I'm still not clear on what exactly that entails. It's not just England. It's other things too. Filed for divorce in 2018 while citing addiction to the online survival game Fortnite and other online games as one of the reasons for their parting of ways. But Fortnite specifically mentioned in at least 200 of these filings in the United Kingdom. We have come to the point where Fortnite is now classified with things like drug addiction, alcohol abuse, gambling. All the things that mostly men, these are mostly issues that men have, but surely women have them too, but I'm just, at least the gambling one, I guess addiction to drugs and alcohol happened to everybody, but the things that have always been cited over the the hundreds of years of marriage that have existed, now I have a new one, and it's Fortnite, and more specifically or broadly, just video games in general, but Fortnite being obviously the worst and most popular at the moment. Holy shit, pull it together, people. This is not a good reason to break off what was supposed to be a lifelong partnership between you and your spouse. If you're playing a video game so much that it becomes something that is cited by your significant other in your divorce proceedings, it's time to reanalyze and spend a little looky-looky in the mirror with yourself for a few minutes. And I gotta say, this was pretty easy to see coming. The first month, this game blew up. And I mean like really blew up. Not like for all you weirdos who played Season 1 or whatever and you're all proud of that. Like, I'm talking like Season 2 or 3 when it really started to get fucking crazy and everyone was playing this game. I'd say one out of three games that I played included somebody in my party getting yelled at by their girlfriend or wife in the background. I'm not exaggerating at all. Like, legit, one out of three. Whether it was somebody I knew that I was playing with or a total stranger, inevitably... Okay, let's throw moms in there too. Inevitably, either a wife, a girlfriend, or a mom at some point can be heard in the background going, "Are you fucking kidding me? You're still playing? You said one game. It's been 4.5 hours. You haven't left this room in 2 days." Stuff like that. "I'm sick of bringing you your toilet pail." Like all the good, all the things that you imagine from South Park's World of Warcraft episode. That's real. So this was easy to see coming, but I can't believe that this is starting to get brought up in court in actual divorce proceedings, like that there's a need to cite it. Because let's be real, that's a bad look for everybody. Can't you just say video game problem? Do you have to say Fortnite? But put this in perspective. 125 million plus people have now registered to play Fortnite around the world. They've pulled in over $1 billion in revenue since launching last year, according to a game to Epic Games, the developer. And what else? Oh, in June, the World Health Organization officially recognized what's called gaming disorder as a mental health condition afflicting gamers who are lacking in control over their own gaming habits for periods of months at a time. I don't know. I hope I don't have gaming disorder yet. I have enough disorders. But here's a little statistic on how much these people play. Roughly one-third of Fortnite players average between 6 and 10 hours of playing per week. So that's 33% have between 6 and 10 hours a week. But apparently that's a number that can be massively overshadowed or outshot by other groups of people play 20 hours a week, say. So, again, if you think you're slowly drifting into the waters of Fortnite could be affecting my personal relationships, stop it. Figure it out. Figure out a way to only play a couple hours a week or whatever. This isn't real life. This is a thing you're supposed to use as like a mental vacation. This applies to anything in life. You can't go play golf all day every day and expect your relationships and professional life to stay intact. That's not going to happen. Your wife's going to leave you. You're going to get fired. It's the same thing with Fortnite. It's just a video game. Put down the fucking controller, turn off the console, and walk away. It's not that difficult. Especially if you're having issues with your relationship. 200 couples in the United Kingdom, that's incredible and hilarious. What?
How do you feel about Ninja being featured on the cover of ESPN the magazine?
Is it ESPN or Sports Illustrated?
It is ESPN the magazine.
This is crazy to me. I get it. I think it's a great move for ESPN the magazine. It's one that's going to get talked about a lot. The cover is very unique. It's unlike anything I've ever seen from them before. It's just like a headshot of him, basically. And I don't know what to make of this whole thing. What I want to know about, and this is probably something we'll discuss on our gaming podcast, Grand X Gaming as well, which is hosted by Jared Borislow and I and lives on Grand X Labs, which is where the Ross Boland podcast started. I want to know if Ninja's legit, like, is he the best at this game, or are there other streamers that are better than him that we should have been watching instead this whole fucking time? Because I feel like he might be just the one that blew up. And I know he's very good. I've obviously watched him play and seen the clips and shit. But surely there's better dudes out there, and he's just the one that happens to be pulling in the biggest audience, doing the best job with branding and performance and social and all that stuff. But man, putting him on the cover of ESPN the magazine is a big move for the e-gaming revolution. All those dudes, the esports guys, are all bonered up right now. They love it. This is what they want to see. And there's a lot of money to be had in that industry, so I don't know, man. I find it hard to believe that a dude with blue hair who's good on the sticks or great on the sticks, even the best to ever do it on the sticks, is worthy of an ESPN cover, but also I'm not running their editorial department and would probably honestly vote for that idea if I did. That's an attention getter. They're going to move some copies. People want to hear about this dude. He's super fucking popular, like beyond any reasonable amount of popular. He's ridiculous. It's crazy how much attention, how many followers, how many people view each of his streams, his YouTube plays, his all that shit. The fucking Instagram following. He's great on Twitter. The guy's killing it. So good for him.
One other note. The United Kingdom is made up of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Thank you. Yeah, I always forget how it works with Ireland.
And is considered an island nation in northwestern Europe. The entire thing is.
It just gets confusing because it's like when they play in the World Cup, it's England. It's not the United Kingdom, right? The United Kingdom for it, but it, so the United Kingdom is not a country.
The United Kingdom is an island nation.
But then, like, England is a country.
That's correct. I don't understand.
I really have never understood
this. But the United Kingdom is a nation, and there are countries within this nation.
Okay. We just don't have it. I guess, so is North America our nation?
No.
No, we say our nation's capital, and we talk about Washington, D.C. So our nation is the United States of America. I don't know. Somebody explain this to us, too. Just another thing to add to the list. We don't know everything. Why the shit is it still the United Kingdom? For what purposes does that operate? Like, does the whole United Kingdom use the euro? Is that the thing? What's the deal? Why is this all under the umbrella of the United Kingdom?
Well, and then there's Brexit, which is England withdrawing from the EU, not from the UK. I don't understand, and I don't really know if I do.
I don't care necessarily either, and it's honestly, if you're a European listener and you're like, holy shit, these dudes are ignorant scum, we've got our own set of problems, okay? We've got plenty of shit on our plate over here, our own fucking country to worry about. We can't be spending all of our time figuring out what the United Kingdom is, all right?
We support you, though.
But
we support us.
We support our allies, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. This is very cool, so pay attention. Maybe you're currently going through a divorce or a breakup due to a crippling Fortnite addiction. Boom. Talkspace is the place for you to start healing and making the appropriate changes to your life. All you need for Talkspace to work for you is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. If you've had trouble making time for therapy in the past and you know you've needed it or had a feeling that you did, Talkspace is going to provide you with the tools you need to get the therapy you deserve. It allows you to get something off your chest with a real, licensed, and experienced therapist whenever you need to. On-demand therapy, essentially. You can talk about the everyday challenges at work or at home, life in general, without any extra commutes, no leaving the office, no judgments. And for those of you who are thinking like, well, therapy isn't for me, I don't need therapy. Listen, therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts and delving deep into the bowels of your psyche and childhood memories or all that shit. Although it can be about that shit, it's also about practical, everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. And every single one of us can utilize Talkspace in that way. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges we all face, to match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of a traditional therapy route. Go to Talkspace.com/RBP and use the code RBP to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's RBP and Talkspace.com/RBP. TalkSpace.com/RBP. Next segment. floating the river. So a listener from Chicago emailed me this past week, or DM'd me, one of those two, and said that he visited Austin, and he actually went down to San Marcos, which is where I went to college. It's where my alma mater is located, Texas State University. And they floated the river in San Marcos. I'm not sure which one. They didn't specify, but they hit me up asking that I explain to the rest of the world exactly what floating the river is. And I swear we've talked about this before, but it just reminded me that this isn't a thing that exists in so many places. It's like, why people can't wrap their heads around this is weird to me. But this dude was like blown away. Like, I can't believe we did this. It was crazy. It was life-changing. It was a blast. And I know it is fucking awesome. And it also reminds me that I need to go do this. It's been a few years now for me. And we're in the back end of summer. It's like, this is kind of it. I've got like a 2-week stretch here. I think it might be fall soon. I don't know what day specifically fall officially starts, but it's coming up and I might need to get my float on before that happens. I'm so tempted to do full-blown Pennywise the Clown You'll Float Too impression right now, and I'm not going to.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but the first day of fall is September 22nd. So, that, as you said, that's, shit, 4 days from now.
Oh. Hello, Georgie. There's my Pennywise. But I don't want... Maybe it's too late for this summer. Mike, have we talked about floating before? Do you feel like we've talked about this before?
I feel like we have, but maybe not in depth. It's funny you mention it because my girlfriend has two friends in from New York coming in on Friday. And guess what we're doing?
No.
We're floating the river.
Which river are y'all going to hit?
We are going to go to New Braunfels and do the Comal.
So what we've got here in Texas specifically, and in other areas of the country as well, but I can only speak to mine, is very hot weather for much of the year, particularly the spring and summer. One of the things we like to do to cool down and enjoy ourselves outdoors in that heat is what's called floating the river, is the general term. Like, do you want to float the river this weekend? We are floating the river on Saturday. That's basically the terminology. So what floating the river entails is going to a river, a large body of water, typically to an organized business that is selling you the equipment you need to float said river, and making sure that you are dropped off and picked up in the proper spot to float said river in a specific amount of time, whether it's the 3-hour float or the 6-hour float or whatever. The different places have different setups. But essentially, you're getting in an inner tube, sitting in it with your butt so that your legs are over one side and your back is on the other side, and you float down a river and you consume alcohol for the most part. That's what people do on the river, is they drink and they socialize with each other and they socialize with other people floating around them, other groups floating by. They take large coolers filled with alcohol. They have speakers that they buy other inner tubes for that have bottoms on them, just so they can stick those speakers in those inner tubes so that they can listen to music while they float the river. There are parts of the river that are very, very slow, much like a lazy river would be if you've ever been in one of those. There are also parts of the river that get a little faster, where there's some rapids. It gets exciting and everybody screams and the drunk chick falls out and somebody has to save her. All that good stuff. It's an incredible time. I definitely, if you come into an area of Texas for vacation that has this activity, pretty much Central Texas, I guess.
Yeah, a couple things about this, and I'll interrupt you for a moment. Ross went to school at Texas State, which we often talk about in San Marcos, Texas. San Marcos, New Braunfels, they have several of these. There's the New Braun, there's what, the San Marcos River. There's the Comal. What is the other?
The Guadalupe.
The Guadalupe. There's several of these. It's,
yeah.
It's very unique to this part of town, or this part of Texas, I believe. The Comal, in particular, is known as the shortest river in the world, allegedly, according to some of these websites I read.
Oh, wow.
And it just flows. It's the Comal is very smooth. It's generally at the same height all the time. If you take the Guadalupe, if you use the proper pronunciation, it can be rocky at times. You have to get out.
Oh, yeah.
They're all a little bit different. And the Comal is like 90 minutes in length. The Guadalupe is 2 to 3 hours.
Can
San
be
Marcos
longer,
can
I think.
Be 2 to 3 to 4. Normally like 2 to 3, I think. We used to float in college at Mizzou. We had float trips where we took... it seems they're illegal. I still don't really know how we did it, but they were our rush trips. We would have high school seniors... And we'd go on these floats, and you didn't float on inner tubes, you floated on rafts.
Oh.
And it was much the same, although like parts of it were shallow and you kind of got out.
Like,
but you had like
inflatable rafts.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, like six people on an inflatable raft.
Not Huckleberry Finn, you build it out of scratch or whatever. No. Okay.
And everybody goes down together although those floats are like 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
With a bunch of 18-year-olds who are just drinking as much Natty Light as they can.
Oh, yeah.
And they generally got very, very ugly. You yes. wake up with some bruises. You get banged around a little bit. You wear aqua socks. Aqua socks are fun. I'm very much looking forward to floating. The Comal is my preferred float. It's easy. You go to a place. I think we're going to go to Texas Tubes this time.
Okay.
You show up. You park for free. You rent the tube for like $20. You get another tube for your cooler. You all tie together. And then at the end of it, you get on a school bus and they bring you back to where you started. And then you go home. It's great.
And then you all float on, all right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But seriously, floating the river is
very fun.
Very fun. The Frio is another one I've done. It's fucking freezing, as you may have noticed from the name. Frio, which means cold in Spanish. Is that clear? Have we made this clear enough? You go to a spot, you park your car, you pay for the tube and the other tube that put your cooler in it, and then you sit your ass down and you float and you drink and you talk and you get a tan, get some sun, jump in the water when you get too hot, you know, hit on chicks, dudes, animals, whatever. Have yourself a fucking good old time. That's what floating the river is. You should do it. If you come down here, definitely do it. And that's all I have to say about that. Next segment. Micah reading R&B lyrics. So one of the things we like to do here on the Ross Boland podcast is get Micah, whose voice you've heard several times over the course of this show, is a deep baritone? Is that what you would call that?
You can go with that, yeah.
Yeah, he sounds like a white man, and he is a white man, and hearing him read rap lyrics that typically would not be coming out of a face like his or heard with a voice like his is very entertaining and funny to us. Now, what we've done today is switch this up a little bit to Micah reading R&B lyrics rather than rap lyrics, because somebody suggested a song that holds a very special place in my heart. It's by one Robert Kelly, also known as R. Kelly, noted sex criminal and disgusting freakazoid, who, just for the record, I no longer support in any way, shape, or form. It's a fucking shame because he's an all-time R&B great, but the man is an animal, a very sick, sick animal. So rather than stream his music, what you should do is listen to Micah reading one of my favorite songs from the artist known as R. Kelly. It's titled Real Talk, and it's first of all, the music video you've got to watch after you listen to Micah read these lyrics. It's so absurd. One of the dumbest, best songs ever made, where I'm just going to let Micah take it away and show you the things that are said here. It's absolutely absurd. So here's Micah reading R&B lyrics for the first time ever with R. Kelly's Real Talk.
Do I know your friend who? At a club? Who was there? Girl, I want it. Wait a minute. Calm down. Was I at the club with who? Get the fuck out, man. You know what? Girl, I'm not about to sit up here and argue with you about who's to blame. Or call no names. Real talk. See, girl, only thing I'm trying to establish with you is not who's right and who's wrong, but what's right and what's wrong. Real talk. Just because your friends say she saw me at the club with some other bitches, sitting in VIP smoking and drinking and kicking it, tell me, girl, did she say there were other guys there? Did she say there were other guys there? Were there other guys there? Well, tell me this. How the fuck she knew I was with them other girls then? When the whole club packed. Wait a minute, let me finish. I got something to say. I've been with you for 5 years, and you've been listening to your motherfucking girlfriends. I don't know why you fuck with them all jealous, no man having ass hoes anyway. Real talk. Anyway, accusing me of some old bullshit when I'm just trying to have a good time. Robert, you did this. Kells, I heard you did that. Don't you think I got enough bullshit on my mind? Real talk. Hold up. Didn't I just give you money to go get your hair, toes, and nails done the other day? Yeah, your ass was smiling then. Real talk. Oh, gave who some damn money? I ain't gave nobody no damn money, girl. Is you tweaking? Is you seeing what the problem is? You always running off at the mouth, telling your girls your motherfucking business when they don't eat with us, they don't sleep with us. Besides, what they eat don't mean shit to us. Real talk. You call my mama's house and what? Girl, my mama ain't got no screen, no calls from me. Real talk. And watch your mouth. Fuck me? Girl, fuck you. I don't give a fuck about what you're talking about. I'm sick of this bullshit. I'm coming home and getting my shit. And ain't getting the fuck up out of Dodge. You ain't got to worry about me no more. And the next time your ass gets horny, go fuck one of your funky ass friends. Hell yeah. You probably doing that shit anyway. You gonna burn what? Bitch, I wish you would burn my motherfucking clothes with your trifling ass Milton. You bogus girl Milton. Start your car up and get ready to take me home. This bitch done lost her motherfucking mind.
Holy fuck. That, dude, we used to put that song on at like 4:30 in the morning in the fraternity house.
I had never heard this song before.
And just belt it. And it's just the most absurd thing.
You know, we used to make our pledges do Trapped in the Closet.
That's funny shit, too.
Not for our enjoyment, but for their humiliation.
Yeah, sure.
And when we do serenades in front of sorority houses.
Yeah.
It was great. But this is a great one.
Outside of Trapped in the Closet, which was by far and away the most absurd thing that R. Kelly did in his career. It was like the 10-part saga.
I think he made a whole movie or something.
It was crazy. I mean,
with videos.
Yes, they're very entertaining, by the way. At one point, a little person is introduced out of a kitchen cabinet. It's just chaos. And everybody's fucking each other. It's fantastic. He's got a Beretta. I had never heard this one. And my buddy Aaron Yates, who, shout out to Aaron Yates, one day he played me this song, Real Talk, and I fucking lost it. This isn't even a song. This is a man sing-speaking into a microphone about how frustrated he is with his relationship and how, dude, his whole argument about like, wait, were there other people in the club? Then bitch, how do you know I was with those girls? When they could have been anybody. There's a million people in the club or whatever. Everything he says is so absurd. And then when she threatens to burn his clothes, my favorite line in the song is, bitch, I wish you would burn my motherfucking clothes. And I've used that countless times in my personal life. That's just so good. But again, I have to stress that R. Kelly is indeed a disturbed, sick individual with a history of sex, criminal crimes. And
yeah, I'm glad you put out the disclaimer there.
Necessary.
It 100% is. And we should also say that R. Kelly, I'm sure there's some R. Kelly fans or defenders and all that stuff.
There aren't that many left
there
over.
There are many of them. And there is he has a long troubled history of bizarre sexual deviancies.
Yeah.
That go back decades.
Really?
I believe he married Aaliyah when she was like 14
16
or something.
16 or 15.
Well underage.
Frankly, it is nothing short of a miracle that this guy isn't in prison. I'm still not... Have you ever gone deep down the R. Kelly rabbit hole and tried to figure all this out?
I try not to. I know he put out a song recently to address this in the last month. It
yeah,
was like 14 minutes long.
Don't listen to that either, by the way. Don't give this dude any money. I'm serious. I know it's funny, and I know we're getting some enjoyment out of one of his most ridiculous lyrics ever. But don't go listen to his fucking new stuff. Just R. Kelly, just pretend he's dead and gone. It's over. Kells is gone. He's an R&B great. It's very sad. It's unfortunate. Sometimes talented people make horrible decisions or can be mentally ill, and shit happens. But it's not our fucking problem. It's his problem. We get to keep the music, but don't give him any more money. And certainly don't be an R. Kelly apologist. That's not a thing. The dude pissed on a chick on camera, and he's running like a fucking weird sex cult now.
Like a decade ago. And now there's this weird sex cult.
Yeah, he's got serious issues, but... All in all, real talk.
Like, not all of these things, may not be true, but there's enough smoke here.
Oh God,
that we can safely say
there's fire.
That we should not. We probably shouldn't be supporting R. Kelly. So just listen to me and not him.
Yes, there you go. Micah is the new R. Kelly. Everybody knows that. Okay. Quickly, some announcements. Your legal obligations. If you're not familiar with them, as a result of having listened to this show. Unwillingly, you have been saddled with two legal obligations. The first of which is that you have to tell one person every week until the week you die about this show. Somebody you think would enjoy the Ross Boland podcast, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a family member, whatever, just a person you think would like the show. You have to tell one person every week until there are no more weeks. And also, you have to rate and review. Hopefully, you're already subscribed. If you haven't subscribed and you'd like to get every episode of the Ross Boland Podcast as soon as they're released, please do subscribe on Apple Podcasts, but also take a second to give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review. Because if you don't, you'll hear from our lawyers and we'll see you in court. Not a joke. It's very real. I know you're sitting there like, where's the kick, the punchline? There is no punchline. Follow the show on Instagram at the Ross Boland Podcast. Also on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod. We're on Facebook too somewhere. You can follow me, Ross Boland, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Boland. My PSN, my gamer tag is Boss Roland. It's just Ross Boland with the B and the R reversed. There's no space. It's one word. And follow me on twitch.com/BossRoland for when we stream Fortnite and shit. Also at twitch.com/GrandXMedia, which is going to be a stream working in conjunction with our GrandX Gaming podcast. Micah, would you please let the good members of the RBP gang know where they can stay in touch with you?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Micah Weiner, MicahWiener. My most important thing that's happening right now on Twitter is that I am coming with electric NFL football picks.
You really are.
Every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night. You can get rich. I told you to take the under last night. You took the under. You won the under. You're welcome. Please follow me. It's verified at Micah Weiner.
I bet on the Seahawks and got my dick stomped off. It was unfortunate. And also, they are terrible.
Yeah, they stink.
Trubisky, serious upside there. You can see it. Several plays last night. I was like, holy shit, I haven't seen anybody move like that in a little while.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's going to be good. I have a good feeling about Mitch. If you
want
to hear more,
he loves titties.
He does. He loves kissing titties.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. If you like sports talk and you want to hear more, Backdoor Cover is our sports podcast here at Grand X that is hosted by Dan Regester along with myself and Dylan Shivery. We release episodes every, what, Monday and Thursday, I believe,
Monday
now?
Monday and Thursday, that's correct. You missed during, a good one last
yeah, during yesterday. Football season, I was forced to miss yesterday's episode. David Ruff, who's very funny, stepped in for me, and I'm sure the show is fantastic, so give that a listen. As I mentioned, Grand X Gaming on Grand X Labs. You should just be permanently subscribed to Grand X Labs so that anytime we have a new show rolling out, you're the first person to find out about it and you get on the get in on the ground floor. Touching Base, our another comedy show here at Grand X that's hosted by Will DeFries with Dylan Shivery and David Ruff. Very, very funny. It's aimed specifically at kind of the post-grad crowd. So if you're a recent graduate from college or if you, you know, you're like under 35, maybe you don't have kids yet, this is probably right up your alley. They're great. All three of those dudes are best friends of mine, and their show is very funny. So support them and listen to Touching Base whenever you get a chance. Barrett Dudley's new show, Club Cool, which you've heard me and Barrett talk about it on here before. It used to be on Grand X Labs. It is now launched onto its own feed, Club Cool. So subscribe to Club Cool for all the fashion takes. And when I say fashion, I don't necessarily mean just like female runway models. I'm talking about male fashion. Like, Barrett is a dude who dresses very nice. He likes to look good. He likes to look fly. And, you know, where I probably operate only in the sneaker realm, right? Like, everybody knows I love fucking shoes. But that's kind of it. The rest of everything I wear is just, like, regular priced, normal dude shit. This guy, Barrett's next level. He's the dude that gives me any advice I need on dressing or even shoes or anything like that. So give Club Cool a listen. He also gets a lot into pop culture and celebrity gossip and all that type of shit. It's a very good show, and Barrett does a very good job with it. Barrett and I have a Game of Thrones podcast together, which is called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. If you watch the Emmys, Game of Thrones took home, I believe, 9 Emmys last night, including Outstanding Drama Series, Best Actor, Peter Dinklage won, or Best Supporting Actor, rather, I think. Anyway, we do something called the Night's Rewatch right now, where every day we go, or every week we pick the next episode in the Game of Thrones series. We started with season 1, episode 1. We watch the episode, then we do a podcast as rewatchers, discussing it, analyzing it. And the whole point is that this way, not only are we getting to rewatch the show in an organized manner before the 8th and final season airs, but we're learning as much as possible, and we're going to go in as informed as we possibly could to the final season of potentially the greatest television show ever made. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan, definitely subscribe to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles and give that show a shot. I promise you, you will like it if you like this show. Barrett and I have a lot of fun with it. We've been doing it for a few years now, and we're very proud of the product that we put out there. Any other shows that I need to speak to, Micah, that I am forgetting off the top of my small brain?
No, you did great. Dadgum is still holding it down on Grand X Labs.
Dadgum, if you're a pop, if you're a father, a
Dylan
Faza.
Is returning with the mailbag pod this week Grand X Labs too.
Dylan
a lot
has,
of good stuff.
Dylan has a new show on Grand X Labs called The Mailbag, where he just answers questions from his followers. That's also very entertaining, so give that a listen as well. Hit rowdygentleman.com. Use that code RBPEARLY for 30% off. You're not even supposed to have that yet until next week. You've got it all this week. And what that means is you're going to have better shot at getting the items you want in your size before everything gets cleared out, right? So hit rowdygentleman.com today. RBPEARLY is the code you use. If you are listening deep into the future and you're a time traveler or whatever and you perhaps the sale has ended, try Eat Fresh, EATFRESH. Maybe you'll get 15% off. I don't know what the date is when you're listening to this, but I'm just trying to help you out. You know, I got your back. We will see you next time, episode 83, tomorrow. Okay? Michael wasn't joking. We literally are going back to back to back to back this week as a result of my vacation fiasco. We've never done that before, four episodes in a row. I can promise you this. Today was the least organized of those four. We've got a lot of shit going on the next couple weeks. It's going to be really, really fun, including some exciting guests that I'm very pumped to share with y'all. Some are going to be in the studio. Some are going to be call-in. Some of them are very, very wealthy. Some of them are just regular-ass people. It's going to be a very good mix. As I promised when we started talking about having guests on the show, I will only bring people on who I think are a really good fit, that I really enjoy, that I respect, and that I'm interested in talking to. I'm not just going to do the whole, like, bringing in guests for the sake of bringing in guests. That's not what this is. It's going to be much better than that, I can assure you, but I just wanted to promise y'all that the rest of the week is going to be fun and exciting, and thank you for hanging with me through the very difficult couple of days that I've had here. I know I haven't been updating the Instagram as much. I will be soon. Second I walk out of this office, that's my first fucking priority. What's up, Micah? No, nothing's up. So that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. Episode 83. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting each other, supporting me, supporting the show, everything we're trying to do here. I love you all. Peace be with you and also with you.